podcasts on the WDWNT Network are made possible each and every week by the following fantastic sponsors. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or board the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. If you book a trip to the Walt Disney World Resort before August 27th for select dates between August 28th and September 24, 2011, you can get the Disney Dining Plan for free for your entire trip. For more information on this special offer and many more, visit MagicalTravel.com and book your next Disney trip today. Enjoy all the comfort of a Disney Vacation Club resort without paying as much when you rent a studio, one-bedroom villa, two-bedroom villa, or a luxurious three-bedroom grand villa at a Disney Vacation Club resort with David's Vacation Club Rentals. David's Vacation Club Rentals is a Better Business Bureau accredited company that can provide you with a villa rental at any one of the seven Disney Vacation Club resorts located at the Walt Disney World Resort. You can visit them online at dvcrequest.com or simply Google David's Vacation Club Rentals to save money on your next Disney trip. Resales DVC is your home for Disney Vacation Club resales. Whether you're buying or selling your part in the Disney Vacation Club, Resales DVC is prepared to walk you step-by-step through the process and make sure your experience is as pleasant as possible. For pricing, availability, and more information, be sure to contact Grandma Jackie and Kin at www.resalesdvc.com or by phone at 866-544-2919 to make your vacation dreams come true.
I'm not sponging for rum. It be gold I'm after.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-hey.
There's no turning back now.
Like a grand and miraculous spaceship, our planet has sailed through the universe of time.
Put up 2, 5, and 7.
Launch us now!
Look at the guy in the goofy mask.
That's not a mask.
Sorry, lady.
I'm sure to do better next time. It was my first flight, and I'm still getting used to my programming.
You made it! I knew you would.
Hi, hello, and welcome. Welcome to our show.
Please welcome your host, Tom Corliss.
Welcome to another edition of the WDWNT podcast. This is episode 214 for October 21st, 2011. On this week's show, we have a triple edition of The Golden Age. This time around, we try to figure out when three resort areas were truly at their finest, as we race ever so close to the finale and finding out when was the Golden Age of the entire Walt Disney World Resort. All this and much more Walt Disney World information and fun awaits you this week on the WDW News Today podcast. Welcome to yet another edition of The Golden Age, where we're still trying to find out somehow mathematically the Golden Age of the entire Walt Disney World Resort. Joining me for the segment this week, Mr. Anthony Iacullo.
What? The segment's still going?
It sure is. The mayor, Justin Heyman.
How's it going?
David Smith.
Hello there.
Marcy Smith.
Hello.
And Zach Larson.
Hi.
All right, so because we're trying to get this thing finally done, we actually don't have a whole lot left to go. We're going to cover three areas of interest this week on the show, all of them resort areas. So we're going to be focusing mostly on resort hotels this week on the show. So Epcot Resort Area, Animal Kingdom Resort Area, and the ESPN Wide World of Sports Resort Area are going to be the topics this week. So I'll give you a quick rundown in case you haven't heard the 4,900 of this segment that's already aired on this show. What we do is I will read off, for each area, I'll read off the particular eras our distinguished panel will get to vote from. Whatever era gets a majority vote will go into our grand equation, and using all those numbers in the end, we're going to try and see if we can get the real golden age of the Walt Disney World Resort. So that's the way we're doing it. Everybody knows how we play this game. Yes?
Good. No, I've just been making it up the last year or so.
Just been picking numbers. Yep. All right, well, let's get started with our first one, the Epcot Resort Area. Again, these aren't going to be the most in-depth as far as number of eras we've ever covered. It really is just the opening of resorts. We're not getting into changes in shops and restaurants and things of that nature. But we start with the 1988 era, which is the opening of Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort, or Caribbean Beach Resort, whatever you want to call it. There's then the 1990 era, where we have the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin opening, and Disney's Yacht and Beach Club. It was a year for pairs of resorts. In the 1996 era, we have the Disney's Boardwalk Inn opening, Disney's Boardwalk Villas opening, and the Fantasia Gardens Mini Golf also opens up in that area. We then have the 2002 era, which has the Disney's Beach Club Villas coming on board, and that is the Epcot Resort area. So I will now go to first member of our panel. Zach, why don't you start us off? What's the golden age of this resort area?
My golden age for the Epcot Resort area, or the Crescent Lake area, whichever you'd like to call it, is 1996.
Although we are leaving Crescent Lake a little bit for Caribbean Beach.
Oh, yeah,
it
yes.
It is slightly outside, but it's considered Epcot Resort area.
Right. I always seem to forget that. My apologies. Well, the reason I went with 1996, it basically boils down to I really, really enjoyed the boardwalk when it first opened.
Mm-hmm.
It just had a great feel for it. I really loved the music. The Yacht and Beach Club was pretty much the same as it was as it opened, at least for me. The Atlantic Dance Hall was actually a unique experience at Walt Disney World. It was a dance club that played jazz and swing music. And I'm a big fan of that kind of stuff. And so, unfortunately, it's gone away since then. And it's now an empty hall that plays, you know, dance music. But for the area as a whole, Caribbean Beach Resort, I stayed there once when I first moved to Orlando, and, you know, I don't really remember too much about it. And the Yacht and Beach Club are great. Swan and Dolphin are pretty cool. But it was just the addition of the boardwalk that, for me, kind of cemented that area as a, you know, like a complete, I guess, zone or area.
Filled in that big
exactly.
gap, yeah.
Because... granted, Yacht and Beach Club had some great restaurants, and it was I never really walked through there, you know, going between Epcot and Studios until after Boardwalk opened. It was when Boardwalk opened and had the extra stores. It had the stuff that's, you know, really cool. It had, in my opinion, a better decor. I mean, I like that kind of Jersey, that Jersey Boardwalk kind of style.
Yeah,
really,
we don't
like
the Jersey Shore TV show.
No,
Jersey,
not at all. No,
the old style boardwalk. Yeah.
Yep. And the addition of this, the boardwalk, I think kind of, it was like the last piece of a puzzle, and it made it kind of really, really great. So that's why it's my golden age. Because
and Anthony and Justin will tell you it's nicer than the real New Jersey.
Exactly. I'll have, you know, my stepsister can verify that as well.
No comment.
There go all the listeners from Jersey. All right. Well, Justin Amon, why don't you go next?
On this one, I have to agree with Zach. My golden age is also 1996 for a lot of the same reasons. In general, after we have the yacht, the beach, and the boardwalk inn all there in one place, you now have a new grouping of deluxe resorts, both walkable to two theme parks. So much like the deluxe resorts in the Magic Kingdom area, this has a big significant impact for the resort as a whole. And I agree with Zach 100% that the Boardwalk created a new spot for a different kind of nightlife at the time than what was at Pleasure Island. It wasn't as quite hardcore clubbing necessarily. It was a little bit different flavor to it. And now looking back, it's really the last place for even just maybe a little bit of you know, bar hopping, if you will. So, you know, it definitely solidified that area, and I really think it kind of beefed up Walt Disney World's nightlife overall, in addition to, like I said, offering a good solid area and block of deluxe Disney-owned hotels, you know, within walking distance of two theme parks, which was really important for the resort to grow, you know, over the years and really say deluxe resorts can be outside of the Magic Kingdom area and off the monorail. So, you know, that's kind of another big step. And I just don't, you know, for me, the Beach Club Villas just didn't really add a whole lot. So that's why I didn't pick 2002. But 1996 certainly was an important year. And it had mini golf.
Yeah, Fantasia Gardens, spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
It's won many awards, especially the fairways course. Very innovative. Mr. Yaculo, we got two for 1996. What are you going with?
I'm actually going with 2002.
Okay.
I didn't think that the Beach Club took anything away, the Beach Club Villas, but I felt it did add more to the area. I hope to become a DVC member one day. I know a lot of people who are DVC members and absolutely love the Beach Club Villas. As has already been said, I really loved the New England, Mid-Atlantic boardwalk feel that Boardwalk gives as well.
That you can't get in New Jersey.
you can. You're just... There's a lot of games of the boardwalk and a lot of... let's just say I don't enjoy these snooky types that frequent a lot of the beaches and boardwalk.
Let's just say this. Like, just like Grauman's Chinese Theater is a lot nicer at Hollywood Studios, that the boardwalk's a lot nicer at Boardwalk.
Correct.
Yeah. It's all right. Anthony's got 2002. We got two for 96, two for 02. David, what are you going with?
So I am going with 2002. This is probably my favorite area on property to spend time. You know, the Caribbean Beach Resort is a very nice moderate resort. We've stayed there a number of times and liked it. The Swan and Dolphin, I'm not too crazy about, but in my mind, the Yacht and Beach Club resorts are absolutely the best resorts on property to stay. Mm-hmm. They're my favorite. And I think adding Boardwalk into that mix just makes this an unbelievable area to stay. You know, you can reach three parks without ever having to even get on a bus. You have all the entertainment of the Boardwalk area. And I love walking down the boardwalk in the early evening when they got the street performers out, and it's a great atmosphere. But what really brought home 2002 to me was I feel like we still had that in 2002, but now we add the villas, the Beach Club Villas, to that mix. And I think just adding that additional option for DVC members or people that want to rent DVC points makes us, you know, such a great location. And I think it did nothing but add to this area. So that's why I feel 2002 is the era that I enjoyed the most.
Okay. We got 202s, 296s. Marcy, what are you going with?
Well, I'm also going to go with 2002. And actually, Dave...
Oh, this is an unfair advantage for the Smiths in this segment.
Sorry. Dave actually said it pretty well. We are DVC owners and we love staying at the Beach Club Villas. But even before we became DVC members, we would rent vacation points from other members and we would stay at the Beach Club Villas a lot. And it's just an amazing area to stay in. We love being so close to the two parks and having a number of different options to get to the theme parks, whether it be walking or the friendship boats or, you know, however you want to do it. And I just think that, just like you said, you know, 2002 when the villas opened, that for us was kind of the icing on the cake in that area because we already really enjoyed staying at the Beach Club and also staying at the Yacht Club and the the boardwalk, and we have stayed at the Swan and Dolphin as well. But now being able to use our own DVC points to stay there really was phenomenal. So that's why I'm choosing 2002.
All right. Well, we have three for 2002 and two for 96. If I pick 96, we could tie this whole thing up. And to be honest, I came really close to picking 96. I do like the boardwalk a lot. It's very nice. I've stayed at the villas. They're very nice. And Fantasia Gardens is one of my favorite things to do outside of the parks at Walt Disney World, the fairways course. But, you know, I think the point was made that Beach Club Villas really didn't detract. It really did add. They're very nice. They're a great addition. They didn't do any harm. So I think for that reason, if it's only an improvement, as much as I don't want to go as far as 2002, I kind of have to, because they were a positive addition and nothing was subtracted. So I'm going to take 2002 as well, and that's going to lock 2002 as the golden age of the Epcot Resort area. Any arguments against that?
Not against that, but I think that certainly Zach and Justin have an interesting viewpoint on this, and that the boardwalk did have a little bit different atmosphere prior to that 2002 period. And it wasn't because of the Beach Club Villas. It's kind of changed over time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think Zach made the point about, you know, the Atlantic Dance Hall used to be someplace that was fairly active, and now it is almost completely dead. And and so it has taken on a different personality now that isn't quite as active or, you know, kinetic as it used to be.
Right. Yep. I mean, and granted, there are some things that were at the boardwalk from back then, like Jelly Rolls, which has remained as excellent as it's been as it was back then. I mean, if you haven't been to Jelly Rolls, I definitely recommend it if you're able to, because it's an excellent, excellent experience.
Especially with a group of people. Yeah,
exactly. If you got a group of friends with you and you're just looking to have a good time and not mind spending $10 to walk in the door, by all means, go right ahead. But it's just like, and I and like you guys all said, that went with 2002. I can't disagree that 2002 didn't take, the addition of the Beach Club Villas didn't take anything away from it. But the sole reason I went with 96 was just that little feel that I got with the boardwalk when it first opened just wasn't there anymore afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I had to go with 96 in that case.
Moving on to the Animal Kingdom Resort area, which begins, believe it or not, before Animal Kingdom even opened, or was announced for that matter. We begin with the 1994 era, which is the opening of Disney's All-Star Sports Resort and the All-Star Music Resort, the first values on Disney property. We then have 1997 era, which brings on Disney's Coronado Springs Resort. 1999, we have Disney's All-Star Movies Resort added to the All-Stars. In 2001, we have the opening of Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, and in 2009 era, the Kidani Village at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, the DVC, the Disney Vacation Club portion, is added on. So in the interest of fairness, we will go in reverse order, which would actually put me first. So,
I am going to go... Wasn't planning on that, were you, Colas?
No, I was not. I am going to go with 2001, because Kidani Village is the biggest waste of space ever perpetrated by Vacation Club. The building is hideous. There's this large green unthemed wall as you drive up. It is the main building of Animal Kingdom Lodge if it was shrunken by Wayne Szalinski's magical ray from Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. Sanaa is vastly overrated. And it doesn't excel everywhere that the old wing or the normal portion of Animal Kingdom Lodge does. Kidani is one of the few things I have a very strong opinion against as far as resorts are concerned. For the most part, I like all the other ones. But I really, really dislike Kidani Village. I think Animal Kingdom Lodge, I'm going to go 2001 because I like Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's probably right up there, probably my second favorite of the deluxes. But Kidani is everything that went wrong with Vacation Club, and Bay Lake opened around the same time, is everything that could be right with Disney Vacation Club. So I'll go with 2001. Marcy Smith, go right ahead.
Hello. Have you stayed at Kidani?
I have been in the rooms. They're very nice, but the main building and that horrible looking thing you drive past are disgraceful.
Okay. Well, I am also going to choose 2001.
Yay!
For a sort of similar view as you, Tom, but I actually have not had a chance to stay at Kidani. I have not been able to eat at Sanaa yet, but I feel that Kidani has only kind of lessened the experience for those of us who stay at Jumbo House, because Kidani and Jumbo House now share bus service, and it's essentially like two resorts because there's so many people staying there now. Mm-hmm. And the people who stay at Kidani are picked up first, and then the bus goes to Jumbo House. And a lot of times, you know, there's room for only a couple people. And, you know, well, having...
Disney likes their vacation club. Which, your vacation club, so you know, the deal. Disney does prefer their vacation club guests.
Exactly. Well, there's vacation club at both Jumbo House and Kidani. Yeah, obviously, right. Kidani is much more so, but...
Jumbo has those small, just the studios, right?
No, They have one bedrooms and two bedrooms as well. Oh, they do. I'm not sure about the Grand Villa.
I know they have like those converted, the rooms they had to convert from the old, and they're a little smaller than the studios are otherwise, but.
Yeah, they're still not as small as the Bay Lake Tower Studios, though.
Yeah.
Which is like a closet. But anyway, another reason why I chose 2001 over Kidani is because I don't like the fact that they didn't put a counter service restaurant in Kidani Village.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sanaa is pretty much a high-end restaurant. If you want anything, that you basically have to go to their little gift shop, and it's pretty much like pre-made sandwiches and to-go things that you just can grab and go, which I don't like. Especially, yes, it's a con. Definitely a con. But, especially when you're staying in DVC, a lot of times I like to pick something up at the counter service and take it back to the room, because a lot of times we'll stay in a room with a full kitchen and we'll put leftovers in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And I just don't like that at all. So I chose 2001 because I like Animal Kingdom Lodge before Kidani was built, and I kind of missed that whole era. But I can't say anything against Kidani yet because I haven't stayed there. I just know that I don't like the fact that it shares bus service, and I don't like the fact that it doesn't have the same amenities as other deluxe resorts, like the counter service restaurant and kind of the moderately priced restaurant.
A side note, as much as we're bashing Kidani, I do want to say the rooms are gorgeous. They really are. But anyway, I just wanted to make one nice point for Kidani.
Mm-hmm.
David.
So I'm glad you made the nice point, because that's actually what I was thinking more of when I made my choice, which was the 2009 era.
Mm-hmm. You like the green shed?
Yes, that's exactly why I chose it, Tom. No, I mean, there are certainly things about Kidani that are slightly irritating that they could have planned out a little bit better. But I think for me, what kind of overcame those obstacles was the fact that it added so many more rooms to this resort, and it added so many more opportunities to stay in that environment that I think, and the rooms were great, like you said, that it really is a nice place to stay, even though it does have its shortcomings.
Yeah.
Now, Marcy makes some good points about it kind of hurting the service to the main building, to Jumbo House, but I guess I didn't feel like it was that big of a deal, you know, or there was that big of an impact. So
I think her counter, and I didn't really think about it, it was one of the things I skipped over. But yeah, the fact that there is not a counter service over at that side is, you know, if you do want a hot meal that isn't, you know, if you have a family with kids, you can't always go to these, you know, California Grill. Your kids aren't going to necessarily sit there in a nice restaurant. You know, you got to do some counter service, and you have to go all the way over to the Mara, which, by the way, is positioned in the worst place in that resort. So not only do you have to cross resort, you then have to walk through that back area and in for the Mara. It is a little strange.
Right. So, but I mean, even with all that, I still felt like Kidani brought something to the table. So I'm going with 2009.
Okay. I believe Zach is next.
No, it's Justin's turn.
Justin, this is what happens when we go in reverse. It confuses me. Justin, go right ahead.
All off. So much like folks before, I'm going to have to choose 2001. And
yay!
And I look at this from two ways, and it's very much the same way I made my last selection, was that what had the greatest impact as a resort as a whole, and that certainly was the overall opening of Animal Kingdom Lodge, not just the DVC property. In addition to that, while I'm not a DVC member, you know, I do kind of keep my ear to the ground, and it's not the most liked DVC resort of them all. You know, in addition, all the things that everybody else has said, I think it's, you know, it doesn't even get people there for dining. So, you know, if, you know, when you have something like Jiko and
Boma.
Thank you, because I completely blanked.
Yeah.
And Boma in Jumbo House.
And a really solid, Mara's a very solid counter service.
Yeah. Yeah, and a counter service that has really great reviews. There needs to be something in that other resort to kind of draw people to, and without even a dining option to bring people into the resort to even see what it's about, I just don't get it. I mean, yes, I know Sanaa's there, but I just, yeah, again, not a ton of people, you know, beating down the door for reservations.
Yeah. Well, the problem, I think, is that main building was built so tiny. It really is just a very, very closet-sized version of the amazing lobby and main building, or I should say the main portion of the building, from the other side of Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah, yeah. So just, you know, overall, you know, not a great resort and not a huge impact. However, Animal Kingdom Lodge had huge impact for, you know, rounding out the resort area. And everything that came before it just was incremental builds to what needed to be done. Obviously, the Valley Resorts had some great significance for the resort. We don't want to overlook them. Yeah. And Coronado being the conference center, one of the largest conference centers on the property, also kind of filled another need. And we got to recognize that, too, because that was a kind of a shift. I mean, Contemporary had been doing some conferences for quite a while at that point in time, but now the resort made a conscious decision that not only are we going to take vacationers, but we're going to take some business travelers and really start to up our conference business with the opening of Coronado Springs. So
never mind how many rooms Coronado added. Coronado is massive.
Yeah. And it's a nice resort.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's a very nice resort. It's a little bit of a different pace, I think, than some of the other resorts, but it's a nice resort. And like I said, it has some, you know, great background significance to the whole resort. So I just didn't want to overlook it.
Okay. Anthony?
I'm also going to go with 2009. I'm not going to repeat everything David already said, but I know a lot of people who love the resort, even, you know, even though, you know, may not be the best of the DVC or even of the best of Animal Kingdom Lodge. And I don't know about, obviously you said that you had heard bad things about Sanaa. I've heard nothing but good.
I've been to Sanaa. I was not impressed in the least, to be honest.
It's the first bad review I've heard of.
Someone's got to start it.
Start the movement from the ground up.
Yeah, I think the problem is a lot of people haven't been over there. I think is generally the problem. It's a very acquired taste. It's a bit out there, but you know, I've given other restaurants like that a shot, and I've been very happy with them, including
Jiko. I think it's hilarious. You'll give Sanaa a try, but you won't try Marrakesh.
Marrakesh, I refuse. Marrakesh is, it just, you know, they put that plate out there and it looked bad.
But that's another segment.
I'm not going in there. Yeah, but Sanaa is definitely a weak point for that resort. They don't get, it's never full. You're lucky if they have half the restaurant full half the time. It's not doing great either. So, and their menu, from what I understand, their menu's being toned down to more normal items.
Americanized taste.
Yeah, because it's not working out. And I applaud the people that run the restaurants for trying to do something very different. It's just, it might be a little too different for the Walt Disney World audience. I mean, I think Jiko's about the right. I think Jiko's about the right balance. I think Sanaa's a little too far off the end.
But that's it for me.
All right, so that's two. So what do we have? We have three 2001s and two 2009s, if I'm correct. I think. Yep.
Sounds right.
Zach, what are you taking?
Well, if I was to make my decision based entirely upon my opinion of the hotels that I've stayed at, I would have to go with 1994. Because Coronado, Animal Kingdom Lodge, and All-Star Movies, I've never stayed at.
You live there, so.
Yeah. And I almost went with 2009, and then I realized, actually, I haven't visited Kidani Village yet at all. So, I'm going with 2001.
Yay!
reason for it is... all the All-Star Resorts are a great addition. They provided a niche that Disney needed, I think. And in 2001, they're still there, all of them. Coronado Springs is an excellent resort. It serves its purpose well. But Animal Kingdom Lodge is an absolutely gorgeous resort. I never stayed there, but I want to stay there. It's just the architecture is absolutely amazing. And pretty much for all the other reasons that were stated, 2001, got to go for it. That's it.
Well, there you go. 2001, the golden age of the Animal Kingdom Resort area, which will bring us to our final one, the ESPN Wide World of Sports Resort area, which will actually begin in 1997 with a different complex. That would be the opening of Disney's Wide World of Sports complex. Then have the 2003 era, which is the opening of Disney's Pop Century Resort. And then 2010, the ESPN Wide World of Sports, the renamed and rebranded version of Wide World of Sports debuts. Unfortunately, we can't put 2012 and the opening of Art of Animation because the plan is actually to finish this segment before this year ends. So those are the only three eras we have to choose from. So let's just reverse the order again. We'll start with Zach. Zach, what are you taking?
Now, it's a good point that you said that, because if we could have included 2012, that probably would have been the golden age.
I would imagine, yeah.
But instead, I went with 1997.
Wow. All right. Explain this one.
I went with 1997 because at the time, the opening of the Wide World of Sports complex, for at least a local, that was kind of a cool thing. Because, you know, if you looked at the original plans for the Florida project, they had a lot of sport complexes that were planned and ultimately not built. Like
the Green Belt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the fact that we had this in there and that there was going to be the spring training home for the Atlanta Braves, I just thought that was a really, really cool thing because I was 14 years old at the time. I wanted to go see baseball games and stuff like that.
Let's not forget training camp for the Tampa Bay Bucks was at Wide World of Sports as well.
Yep, exactly. I mean, I got to see the Harlem Globetrotters at the Wild World of Sports complex. And a part of me really hoped that the opening of Wide World of Sports might lessen the chances that there was a cheerleading competition going on at studios. That unfortunately didn't happen. So, but I'm not going to let that take it away from him. Now, the reason I didn't go with 2003, Pop Century Resort, I hate it. I really don't like it at all. It's just the concept behind it of just, you know, decorating... Or you know, sectioning off their groups of rooms based upon a span of time, it just seemed really weak to me as far as Disney theming goes. ESPN Wild World of Sports Complex, they have made some improvements there, but the reason that I had to go with 97 was just because Pop Century, I dislike it that much. Granted, they do have rainbow cheesecake, and that is pretty good. But yeah, 97.
Anthony?
I actually went with 2010. I know you hate the resort with a passion, but I actually really like Pop Century. I like having one bus for and one set of buildings for the resort I'm staying at.
Well, it's easy when you don't build the rest.
Well, yes. It's easy when you don't have the legendary years.
Yeah.
I also really like ESPN being a part of Wild World of Sports. I'm a huge fan of ESPN. If I could afford to go to ESPN the weekend every year, I would.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Don't have to worry about that anymore. I like that they're starting to put more and more and more parts of ESPN, you know, down in Orlando. They've owned the company for how many years?
Enough.
And next to ESPN The Week, and this is the first, and ESPN, so this is the first big presence of the ESPN company within Disney. And as you and Zach said, the fact that you can go see a major league exhibition game while you're on vacation is absolutely awesome.
Is that it?
That's all.
Okay. That's it. Justin.
So, you know, looking at this list, it's slim pickings for sure, and I think everybody knows that I'm a fan of Pop Century by now. And actually, Zach brings up probably the one thing that I find least attractive about it, which is
the cheesecake,
the overall theme.
He's just knocking it because of what happens after you eat it.
Sorry. What about the time capsule vomit in the lobby? Oh,
I thought you were going to say, like, you have World of Color in the bathroom after the cheesecake.
Oh, boy.
Good night,
just
folks.
When you think it couldn't get any lower, folks.
You flush. It's a carousel of color, huh? Only highbrow humor on this show.
Anyway, so back to Pop Century. You know, it is true. I actually think the theme is a little loose and a little lacking, too. But overall, I think the resort's a quality resort, and I prefer to stay there over All-Stars if I'm going to stay at a value. So,
one thing I'm kind of envious about, like for you guys, is that I can't look at the resorts through, the experience of staying there.
Yeah.
I mean, my judgment of the resorts, you know, from the very few that I've stayed there, does come from my experience there. But the majority of them is all about, you know, architecture, theme, and just overall feel when I'm wandering around. And
can I just say, thank goodness it doesn't have some convoluted story like Pleasure Island? Like Cornelius Pop opened.
Meriwether Poor Theme landed at what's the name
Cornelius
of that lake?
Not gonna finish.
Michael denied permits was there. Yeah. Anyway, no, it doesn't have a backstory. Yeah. Surprise.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay.
But yeah, I think Zach, I think it's very important that you represent. There are plenty of Florida locals that visit Walt Disney World, and why shouldn't they be represented in a golden age, even if it's resort hotels? There are plenty of people that experience the resort hotels for shopping and dining only, and I don't think there's absolutely anything wrong with that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I think if I was a local, I probably would hate it too.
It should be based on dining and shopping and you know, theme experience, I think, you know. I think that's fair. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Plus the cheesecake.
And the cheesecake, yes.
Yes. So Pop obviously played into, you know, my overall view, and it's kind of funny because in 1997, I don't really think this was called the Water Roller Sports Resort Area.
It wasn't a resort area.
It wasn't a resort area. You know, the only thing that would have made me pick 1997, and Zach kind of hinted at this, was back then you could actually do stuff at the Wild World Sports when there was not sporting events.
The NFL Experience.
NFL mm-hmm. Experience was there.
Still have my leather jacket, my Dolphins leather jacket that says NFL Experience.
Starter jacket?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think it is, yeah.
On periodic pump, pass, and kick competitions. I mean, there was stuff there to kind of wander around and do and just introduce you to this new sports complex. So it was kind of neat. But overall, I think Pop being built kind of bumped it up to 2003. And then, like Anthony, I think that the addition of ESPN and the technology that they're building into that place and actually utilizing it for more than just a sports complex, I think is pretty cool. So I have to go with 2010.
All right. What do we got? Two for 2010, 197. David, what are you going with?
I was very close to choosing 1997 simply because of the Pop Century Resort. I feel like it's such an ill-conceived theme that I wanted to choose something before it existed.
Let the hate mail flow.
But, you know, I couldn't choose just the Wide World of Sports Complex. And I understand that there's spring training, but that's, you know, 6 weeks out of the year.
Yeah.
And when I visited it outside of that time period, I felt such a letdown of, you know, there is so much potential for this area to become almost a sports theme park, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when we visited, it was such a letdown because, yeah, the NFL Experience was interesting, but you know, that's 20 minutes basically, and it wasn't all that well up, you know, kept up. So, and then other than that, there wasn't a lot to do unless you're actually attending an event there or, you know, competing in some way. So I felt like it had a lot of potential, but it just it didn't meet that. Now with ESPN moving in, I feel like we're starting to see that potential slowly start coming back so that it can be an actual experience for people rather than just a destination for teams to go. So that's why I ended up choosing 2010, was because ESPN, I think, is trying to bring that experience back and bring that environment back so that people will want to visit it and not just go there only because of their families attending an event there.
Yep. Marcy?
Well, this one was a little bit difficult for me because I'm not a sports fan and I have not stayed at Pop Century. So I ended up choosing 2003 because Pop Century, what I've heard from people who really enjoy it is that it's probably the most popular value resort.
Yeah.
And so that's basically why I chose 2003, because it was pretty much the lesser of two evils. It was either sports or Pop Century. So I chose Pop Century.
Well, that locks the win for 2010, but I'll go anyway. I was going to pick 2010, not because of Pop Century. I like the fact that we're in an era where Pop Century is about to be eradicated by art animation anyway, most likely. Because it is a pretty convoluted... I'll agree that sports is probably not... I like the sports, all-star sports, just because... I don't know. I like sports, so... I always like that resort. Music's okay, and I always loved movies. Movies is spectacular, and art animation is really building upon what's great about the movies one. So, and I really think the only reason people like Pop is because it opened in 2003. The rooms were nicer than the older ones at All-Star. I honestly believe since the room remodels at All-Star, the All-Star rooms are better. Pop might look a little better on the outside, but as far as where you're sleeping at night, a lot cleaner and nicer, those new rooms at All-Star. But I'll take 2010. ESPN Wide World of Sports, going to that media event made a believer out of me. They certainly have improved Wide World of Sports. It used to be a very barren, ugly place. Great update to the graphics package. Wonderful new technology everywhere. I'm trying to think of the name of it. The Innovation, whatever the name of that.
The HP Pavilion?
No, there's the Innovation Lab, I believe it's called. ESPN Innovation Labs, where they test out the 3D technology and all that, was really cool. I don't know how you get in otherwise than media, but I'm sure there's ways you can get a tour or something. There are some really cool stuff they can show you in there, how they do the 3D technology and all kinds of crazy stuff. The way they're able to broadcast live, just the idea to broadcast live onto a station on Resort TV, the events actually happening at Wide World of Sports as they are happening. They have the highlight reels playing on the TV monitors all over the entire complex. The brilliant ideas, the marriage of technology and a great guest experience extending outside of the theme parks and going to just a sports complex like this. It's that Disney magic, and it really has extended to something completely different. Now, will I go and spend a ton of time at Wide World of Sports still? No, but it's getting there, and I think they're starting to figure out what to do with it. And I think the ESPN rebranding was the first step in the right direction, especially like the gaming pavilion and the Wide World of Sports Grill is a huge step up from the restaurant that was there, the All Star. What was the name of that? They're not even around anymore. Was that All Star Cafe? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So. They're definitely heading in the right direction, and I look forward to seeing more, but definitely 2010, regardless of Pop Century's existence, in my eyes, is going to be the golden age, and that's what we ended up with. So 2010, just a recap of our three we've done tonight, the Epcot Resort Area 2002, the Animal Kingdom Resort Area 2001, and the ESPN Wide World of Sports Resort Area 2010, and only a few more left. Come back in a few weeks, and I think we'll finally figure out when was the golden age of the Walt Disney World Resort. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like that will do it for episode 214 of the WDW News Today podcast. As always, I'd like to thank you for tuning in. You make this show possible and worth producing each and every week. Now, time for the big finish, giving you all the useful reminders you'll need to know in the coming week. First of all, to contact us here at the show with any questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at wdwnewstoday@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail message at 206-666-2982. If you have not done so already, please leave us a review on iTunes. It's a great way to let others know about the show. Be sure to visit WDWNT.com for our entire network of Disney-inspired websites and podcasts. And as well, don't forget to check out WDWNT the magazine, the free online publication from WDW News Today and the WDWNT network. That's at WDWNTTheMagazine.com. You can read it on your iPad, all those great devices. You can read it on the computer. All kinds of great ways to enjoy fantastic reading just for Disney fans. Do not forget to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/WDWNT or at WDWNT. As well, you can make me a friend on Facebook at facebook.com/WDWNT, or you could like our fan page at facebook.com/WDWNT Network. Just a quick reminder, this is a pretty big deal for us. I know you probably heard it earlier in the show, but please vote for us daily now through October 27th at www.podcastawards.com. We are in the travel category. Please click and vote for us daily if you can. We deeply, deeply appreciate it, and hopefully together we can win this thing. It'd be really great for the show. Coming up on next week's show, episode 215, I actually don't have a great idea what we're doing next week, but I know we will have your news and rumor report. We have a lot to cover there, and probably something else. I don't know what else. We have a few things shifting around the next couple weeks, but as always, enjoyable listening your way, coming your way next week, so don't miss it. Since I just previewed next week's show, that means that this week's show is officially over, and I can now end it with the corniest catchphrase in all of podcasting. That's gonna do it for this week. See you all next week. See ya real soon.
Thank you for listening to the WDW News Today podcast. Be sure to tune in again next week as we continue to bridge the gap between you and the world. Also, don't forget to visit the entire WDWNT network online at WDWNT.com. This is Brian Summer saying goodnight and have a pleasant tomorrow.